from day one, this mic. But anyway, it's good to be here on this evening, to be able to spend the week with you, to share God's word, to recline at your table or at a table with several of you, to stand around and talk, to get to know you a little bit better. And I know that there are a whole lot of things that, you know, Anita and I could have said, shared with you as well. And maybe as time goes on, as we continue to be a part of the family of God, that we will have another opportunity to sit with some and to continue to get to know you as you get to know us. I know I said last week I was going to say some things that I may not say tonight, but it's always sort of a sad time to get to the end of the meeting, because I know that we may never see one another again here upon this earth. But hopefully we can be in heaven. I may not know exactly who you are there. I really don't know how all that's going to pan out. But I do know that if we are around the throne, that as we are worshiping God here, we would be worshiping Him there. Now, one of the sad things is that we're all not going to get there. And when I say we, I may not necessarily be talking about you. I may not necessarily be talking about me. But we may not all get there. So let us do what we can to be pleasing unto God, that we may continue to look at His word, and that we may continue to find the things that we need to get straight, and we straighten those things out. The conversations that we have had on this week, I know Brother Wright mentioned that there are some things that were said that, you know, in hearing the good things, and I've heard some other things as well, not from any member here per se, but from a member. And it is sad that when someone hears something from the Word of God, that they are turned off or not interested anymore. But there's still hope for that person, that they may come back and hear God's word being proclaimed, and they may understand that nothing that we say from this pulpit or from a podium teaching God's word, or from sitting in a home environment or a restaurant, wherever we study the word of God, that we do not say anything to hurt them. But we say the things that should be able to help them. And we know that God's word is true. We look and we talk about the truth concerning God's word, and Jesus himself, as he states that in John 17:17, I believe I used that on Sunday, where he prays to the Father, and he prays to him, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And that is all that should come from this pulpit, is truth. No opinions, nor what an individual feels, nor what someone thinks. But it should all be truth. And so tonight, as we come to a close of this gospel meeting, I want you to understand the importance of the authority of God, that we need to recognize His authority, and that we need to accept His authority. And we need to continue to do the things that are right in His sight. Not the sight of man, but in His sight. And if we would do that, the things that we set forth to do, He's looking at those things and He is pleased with those things. And we all want our worship to be acceptable. And as we talked about that, how is your worship? I want us to continue to focus on that. That title alone, how is your worship? Again, the Bible teaches us that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the reason that people get offended by some of the things that are said by men of God or even in a ladies' class is because they do not want to adhere or they do not want to convert to the truth concerning God's word because of something that somebody else has told them. So therefore we have so much religious confusion. And that's the way man is going to continue to do. And that is, those are the things that man is going to continue to the things they're going to say and the things they do, because they would like to keep that confusion going so that individuals may be lost just as they are lost. And we know that the Bible teaches us if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a ditch. And the question was asked, you know, who is the guilty party? Is it the one that's leading or the one that's following? Both of them are guilty. Because we're all supposed to be looking into God's word to find out whether or not we're doing what is right or not. And then we come to the point of looking again, continuing to search the scriptures, knowing that we are supposed to be following what God wants us to do, and continuing to do those things because, again, he is looking at us and he is going to judge us on all that we have done in this body, whether good or whether bad. So I'm going to jump to Thursday night where we talked about family and friends or friends and family. We all have a concern for our family members. We all have a concern for our friends. And we all want the best for them. And as we look around the room and we're sitting next to somebody and that person may be a child of God, we should understand that we should care for them just as we care for ourselves. And when we show a love for them, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. Love the brethren. When we demonstrate that to the people because we know what God has demonstrated to us, that we'll be so much better in this life in which we're living. Know again that when we look at that word love, it's a four-letter word, and that word is an action word. There are times where we may tell our spouses, I love you. And I don't know about any other husband in here or any other wife, but sometimes when I tell Anita, you know, I love her, she say, but do you like me? Do you like me? And a sister where you're sitting, Brother Joe, we had a sister that used to sit right there, and I'm talking about love, and I mentioned, you know, about we love you and this, that, and the other, and she was out of order, but she would shout out, really? And you know what she was saying? I need to see some action. I need you to demonstrate that love, just as God demonstrated. Again, God will never ask us to do anything that he himself would not do. He loved us enough to do what? To give us his only begotten son. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross. He gave him his only begotten son that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Do you want to live forever? Not here on this earth, but live forever in the kingdom of heaven. With our Father, with the Son, with the Holy Spirit, and others that have died in faith, that we would be with them throughout all eternity. That's a wonderful thought. It's going to be a wonderful time had there. But that brings me to the close of this meeting. And we want to talk today. I'm going to give you the agenda as we're going to look at this on this evening. I want to give you the agenda. Judgment Day agenda. Is there such a thing? Yes, it is. And what we're going to look at and what we're going to talk about tonight is from 1 Corinthians 15, 51, 52. All will be changed. All will be changed. Well, what does that really have to do with? That have to do with us dying. We're going to have to die because flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. All will be changed at the twinkling of an eye. All will be changed. Now, I want you to ask yourself, how many times do you blink your eyes in a day's time? Now, I seen that number earlier and I can't remember it. That's that useless information. But I know that we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. You know, people say, why are you blinking your eyes at me? I learned something last night. Sometimes when I'm preaching, some of y'all may have noticed this, I preach with my eyes closed. And I learned, and then I can say the reason I preach with my eyes closed here is because these lights are so bright. And they're blinding me, so I close my eyes. But that's not true. So I ask you forgive me for saying that. But somebody did say about the lights being bright, and so I said, I'm going to use that. I wasn't lying to them. I did use it, didn't I? But I had to repent and say, that's not the truth. That's not why I close my eyes when I preach, okay? But anyway, let's move on. 2 Corinthians 5:10. All will stand before the judgment throne of God, the judgment seat of God. All will be there. There's no one that's going to be able to escape that night or that day, whatever you may want to call it, that morning. No one is going to be able to escape. Everyone is going to be there. I'm just running down the agenda for you before we get into the lesson, okay? This is free, okay? You don't have to pay me for this. This is free now. But you're going to thank me later because you're going to know what's going to happen on that day. There's no excuse. You know, we go to places sometimes, we wonder, what's going to happen? We stand in a long line and we wonder what's going to happen. And when we get to the end of that line, we get in there and what's happening is something that we never expected before. But this day here, this is the day again where everybody is going to be there and the books are going to be open. The books are going to be open. You know, again, we like to open books. I told you the other day, I like to hear those pages turning. But books are going to be open and everything that you have done, everything that I have done is going to be in those books. The good things and the bad things. But then there's another book. The book of life. Everybody's name is not going to be in that book. There are some names that have been in there, and those names have been taken out. And then there's some other names that are not in there, and those names will be added to it. But on this day, there's no more adding and there's no more subtracting. If your name is not in the book of life, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Because you know what's happening now? It's judgment time. You ever been to court before? Have you been late for court before? You did not really hear what the bailiff was saying in reference to how you need to conduct yourself when you come into that courtroom. See, there are some guys that really don't hear what is being said because they're late. Or there are some ladies that don't hear what is being said because they're late. They come in with their coffee cups. They come in wearing their hats. And they say, did you not read that sign out there? Did you not hear what we said? No food or drinks in this building. Take your hats off. We don't want to see those things in here. And if you continue to have that on, they will remove you. Put your cell phones on silence. Yes, you can text all you want to. If it vibrates, that's fine. But please don't answer it. See, those are things that are said in the courtroom. And guess what? Those are things that we like to stress as well, isn't it? Because we don't want the service to be interrupted. But on judgment time, you don't have to worry about none of that. No cell phones, no hats, no food, none of that. Because this is according to God's judgment. Revelation 21, verse 1 through 4. There's no more crying. There's no more dying. There's no more pain. None of that. All that has passed away. Now, how many of you woke up this morning with some sort of pain? How many of you have cried this week? How many of you, you know, have mourned someone on this week? None of that. None of that after the judgment. It's going to happen. And so let's get ready for it because it is coming. There are two eternal places. One is eternal rest. That's that Sabbath rest that we're looking forward to having. You know, the Israelites had a day of rest, that Sabbath day, that they were commanded to rest on. But we're not looking for a Sabbath rest here upon this earth. We're looking for a Sabbath rest in heaven, a place where we never have to work again. You think that, you know, people say, oh, I'm going home to rest. I don't like to tell people when they ask me, say, when are you going to slow down? I say, I rest when I'm dead. But you know what? That's a little iffy too. I'm going to tell you why. Because our salvation is conditional upon what we do. Not what God does, but what we do. So we have to stand for the truth through our lifetime in order to get to heaven. Otherwise, this other eternal place, everlasting punishment. Who would like to be punished throughout all eternity? I don't think nobody here would like that. No one at all would like to be punished throughout all of eternity. Again, that's the agenda. That's what we have to look forward to on the day of judgment. No one is going to be able to escape that day. So let's get into the lesson. The final judgment. We start again there with Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. I'm gonna go ahead and step out on the limb and make you a promise. I'm gonna get you out on a decent time tonight. But we are gonna spend some time in the Word of God. Because I want us to know the importance, coming from the very beginning, talking about authority, that everything in between the time that we are born to the time that we die, it is important. It is important. How we govern our lives concerning what God has said. Before an individual can die, he or she must be born. But you know, death is appointed to us. I have made appointments and I have canceled appointments. I've made appointments and I've rescheduled some appointments. But here's one appointment that you cannot change. You cannot reschedule it. The Bible teaches us here in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it is, this is God's word now, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Now ask yourself this question, and we're going to get to the answer toward the end of the lesson. Why does he say it's appointed unto man once to die? Won't you just think about that for a moment? Why does he say it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment? There is a reason. It's a very good reason. And would you like for me to give you the answer? Not right now. You have to sit here to get the rest of the story. So we look and we talk about this thing. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Where have you heard that before? Go ahead, brother, right? Yell it out. Where have you heard that before? Thank you. Gomer Pyle. Surprise, surprise, surprise. That's what's going to happen in judgment. There's going to be some surprises. There's going to be some surprises. And I want to ask you a question. Are you ready? Are you ready for that surprise? You know, an individual here that some of us have had surprise parties and some of us are never surprised because somebody's always told us what's going on. I want you to know something right now. There should not be any surprises at judgment. But there is a lot of people that's going to be surprised. Why? Because that person has thought that what they are doing is right. But come to the end, they're going to find out that it wasn't. It wasn't right at all. Here in John 5, 28 through 29, John 5, 28 through 29, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. So who's going to be resurrected? All are going to be resurrected. But there are some that when we talk about this condemnation, we go back again looking at that everlasting punishment. When we talk about the resurrection of life, we're talking about that eternal life in heaven. And that, again, that's what we want. I don't know what the next man want, but that's what we want. We, those that are here tonight, hopefully we all want the same thing. But I've talked to people that were, say, Satan worshipers, the satanic worshipers. And theirs wasn't that they wanted the resurrection of life because they believe in God's word. They use God's word as a reference book to back up what their book is saying. And they're still living a life that is corrupt. They're still living a life where we know that Satan and his angels are going to be cast into the bottomless pit. Yes, they're still living that life. Because in a way, they're content with knowing that they're going to be resurrected for condemnation. They're content with that to a certain extent. And what is that extent? We'll find out in just a moment. But here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, again, surprise, surprise, surprise. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, 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 Lord. But he says, you know, all that says Lord, Lord will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. They will not get there. And this is what they're going to hear right here in verse 23 of Matthew chapter 7. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Depart. Be on your way. And it's not so easy, you know, I'm saying that, depart and be on your way. We're going to find out in a moment what the Bible says in reference to that. You know, there are some people that you just can't tell them to leave. You know, you may turn the lights off. You say, you don't have to go home, but you got to get out of here. On that final day, the lights are going to be turned out for them. They're not going to be able to go back to their homes, but they're going to go somewhere. And it's not like I'm going willingly. But did they not? Or some of us not living our life willingly in sin, going against what God wants us to do? The final judgment is coming. When? I don't know. Nobody in here can tell us when that day is coming, but it is coming, and we need to ask ourselves, are we ready for that day? Now, the next question is, do you like surprises? Do you like surprises? Do you like for someone to surprise you with a gift? A gift is something that we have not worked for. But you know, there's a lot of people working to go to hell. They're working hard. They're putting in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, not trying to do anything right, but do everything wrong because hell is where they want to be. Well, all they have to do is keep on doing what they're doing and they will get it. A lady told me one time, she said, I'm going to hell. I said, you don't have to. It's a choice. You need to make up in your mind to do what is right. But I want to again ask you, do you like surprises? Do you like surprises? For those that say that there is no God, there in Psalm 14:1, what does he say? The fool says in his heart that there is no God. You know, everybody wants their day, right? We just passed that day, April the 1st. You know, April Fool's Day. He has his day. The person that says there is no God has his day. And he will have his day if he continues to say that there is no God. He will have a day where he's going to spend in eternal punishment, everlasting punishment. And we have to be careful because just as those individuals say that there is no God, sometimes we act the same way by not acknowledging who God is. And that's what happened in Romans chapter 1, verse 21. They knew God. They knew him. I want you to hear that. They knew God, but they did not acknowledge him as God. Those people were living corrupt lives. You know, a lot of times we go there and we talk about the homosexual there, but that's not all that Romans 1 talk about. It talks about some other sins that people commit as well. No sin is greater than any other sin. God hates sin. How do we feel about sin? You know, we say, oh, it's okay to do that. Don't worry about it. He's not hurting anybody. Yes. He is hurting somebody. He's hurting himself. And if he continues to hurt himself, he is going to be surprised on the day of judgment. So we need to point sin out to people, and we need to allow them to realize that they need to change their lives. I talked to my brother. He was getting ready to go out to the club, and I was talking to him, trying to get him to realize how he did not. And I say, my brother, I'm not talking about he wasn't a Christian. He was a worldly man. And I said, you don't need to do that. You shouldn't do that. And you know what he did? He wanted to cover up his ears. He said, if you don't tell me, I will not be judged according to that. Y'all know what that is, right? That's a lie. Whether you know it or not, you're still going to be judged according to what you have done. So therefore, listen to the truth and be willing to change your ways because Jesus is coming back. He's coming back when you least expect it. You know, when you do something bad to somebody, they say, I'm going to get you back. When you least expect it, And what are they saying? I'm going to sneak up on you and I'm going to take care of you. And I've had that happen to me in my lifetime where I wasn't expecting something. Somebody came up behind me and they gave me what they said they was going to give me. I didn't expect it. And if I don't live my life right, Jesus is going to come back, or I'm going to lose my life when I least expect it. And so therefore, we need to look at his word and we need to understand, how is he coming back? Let's just read this in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, verse 42 and verse 44. Matthew 24, verse 42 and verse 44. See, when we look at these passages here in Matthew 24, and then we continue to go through Matthew chapter 25, it's talking about two different time eras here. But here, when it talks about Jesus coming back, no one knows when he's coming back. So we read what the Bible says here in verse 42. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Verse 44, he points out and he makes it very plain. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Jesus is coming back. We sing a hymn, Jesus is coming soon, morning, night, or noon. Did I get that right or a little bit wrong? Morning, noon, or night. However you want to say it, he's coming back. And then that day is going to start. What day? Judgment day is going to start. One day is going to be here. Are we ready for it? He's coming back as a thief in the night. The Bible teaches us there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief. A thief now in the night. A thief. You know, you hear that a thief is coming, what are you going to do? You're going to lock up your house. You're going to lock up your belongings. But if you don't know when he's coming, you left things out. You know, you haven't locked your house, and the thief comes in. And what does the Bible say? He comes in to kill and to destroy. When Jesus comes back, he's coming back for his people. He's coming back for those that love him. He's coming back for a perfect church. Or are you ready for that day? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 through 10. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 through 10. Again, the Lord is coming back. He says, do not overlook the one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are there, that are done on it, will be exposed. Again, all I want you to look and get out of that is that the Lord is coming back as a thief in the night. When you least expect it, you know him, acknowledge him. We talk about confessing him before you become a Christian and professing him once you become one, so that you may know and others may know that there is a God. And he's God all by himself. He does not need us. We need him. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. And we can walk outside and we can look up and we can see heaven. And we can get a telescope and we can see another heaven. But the heaven where our heavenly Father resides, we can't see that place. But we long to be there one day. How about you? Do you really want to go to heaven? Do you really want to be in the place that God has built or Jesus has gone to prepare for his people? It's a prepared place for a prepared people. John 14:1, he mentions there, you know, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or many rooms. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The final judgment is coming. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for it? Do you like surprises? Again, I have to keep asking that question. Do you like surprises? You know, Anita may bring something home and it may be a surprise. And it may be a surprise for me, and Dante may think it's for him. He's the one that gets the surprise. It's not for you, it's for me. Get your hands off of it. But heaven, again, people are going to be surprised because they do not want to accept what God's word says. He's going to come and he's going to judge in righteousness. He's going to judge in righteousness. There in Acts chapter 17, verse 31. Acts chapter 17, verse 31. He's going to judge in righteousness. The God that we serve, he says, because he has fixed the day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. See, there's some people that are still waiting on Jesus to be born. Less known, understanding that he's already been born, and that he was crucified, that he was buried, and that he was raised from the dead. The Orthodox Jew do not believe in Jesus. He still believes in the old ways, the old commandment, the old law. That is what he want to live by. If that's what he want to live by, he don't want to believe in the rest of the Word of God, that's going to be on him come judgment. But it's our responsibility to point out the truth to them, to individuals, so that they may make up in their minds whether or not they want to accept it or not. All that we have done, you think that you have something that you have hidden from man? But I want you to know you cannot hide things from God. Because every deed that we have committed in this life, it will be pointed out in those books that will be opened on that day, the day of judgment. So Romans chapter 2 and the verse is 16. On that day, when according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. I mentioned on Sunday, I believe it was, you know, people always say, you know, you have some big shoes to fill. You have a standard to meet. We walk in the footsteps of whom? The footsteps of Jesus. We want to be Christ-like because we're going to be judged by him, because he was perfect. He committed no sin. He gave his life that we may be able to live. You know, the sins were put up on him so that mankind may have the forgiveness of sin by his shed blood. So everything that we have done, the deeds, the public and the secret sins that we have committed, we're going to be judged by those things. So if you have sin, get it right before it is too late. The standard, again, is coming from God's word. The standard. I cannot help. We know what measurements are. At least some of us do. Dante was learning that the other day. Measure twice and cut once. Come to find out, there are sometimes you may measure twice and you may cut and you may go over there and it still don't fit. What do? You cut a little bit more off. Just make sure you don't cut it too short, though, because then you got to go buy a new board. But the standard comes from the Word of God, and we have to continue to look at His Word because this Word is what we're going to be judged by. And again, I keep going back to some of the things that we mentioned. If you were able to write this book, how many things would you condemn that you like doing or that you have liked doing? How many of them would you condemn? Not a one. Not a one. You would leave them. You wouldn't condemn none of them. You know, this book may just have good things in it and never say that what you're doing is bad. You may not mention them, but you're not going to condemn them. But this book condemns some of the things that we like doing. And we have to take note of those things. And we have to understand that we need to change those things before it is too late. In John chapter 12, verse 44, John 12, 44, and Jesus cried out and said, whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come into this world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my word and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. The last day, the final day, judgment day. All the same day. How will you be judged on that day? Do you like surprises? There's no excuses and no appeals. No way, no shape, no form, no fashion. What you have done, you cannot make an excuse why you were doing those things. You cannot say, yeah, could you retry me? No, this is the final judgment. There's no retries. There's no higher court in the land because you're no longer in the land. This is God's judgment. The penalty here is one or two places. That is the final judgment. Heaven or hell. Where will you spend your eternity? Again, I don't know about you, but I want to spend my eternity in heaven. Romans chapter 2, verse 5. Romans chapter 2, verse 5. But because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath, which God's righteous judgment will be revealed. He will render to each one according to his works. I love that. According to his works, not the works of anybody else. Ezekiel points that out pretty good, too, in Ezekiel chapter 18. You know, where it talks about the son does not have to give an account for the father's sins, nor the son give an account for the father's sins, vice versa. And he says, but every soul that sins will die. Every soul that sins will die. And so we look here and we see what Paul is talking to the Roman church about here. He says he will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience and well-doing for glory and honor, immorality, he will give eternal life, immortality. He will give eternal life. For those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also to the Greek. But glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also to the Greek. For God shows no partiality. Everybody's going to give an account for what they have done. The Jew first and to the Greek. You know, again, I love, you know, how Paul writes and how he stresses the importance of doing what is good and that is pleasing in the sight of God. And I love how he talks about not being ashamed of the gospel. For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. See, we have to understand whose God's chosen people were. It was the Jew. But you know who God's chosen people are now? We all are. We just have to be obedient unto what his word says in order to become one of his people. So do you like surprises? Judgment day, it is coming. It's an everlasting day. It's a day that we have to understand after you're judged, wherever God tells you to go, that's where you will go. But the ones that have done wrong, they're going to get theirs. A lot of times we like to try to repay people for doing us wrong, but we don't have to worry about repaying them. God will take care of them in his time. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, he says, For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, for your faith in God has gone forth everywhere so that you need not say anything, for they themselves report concerning us the kind. Am I in the right place? No, I'm not. But right, get me straight. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 8 and 9. In flame and fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Inflicting vengeance on them. This is God now. This is not us trying to revenge those that have done something against us, because God is going to take care of them. And he says, do not, and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus, they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction. Suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. So do not think for one second, if you live a sinful life and you die, that God is going to overlook that and tell you to enter in, my good and faithful servant, because it is not going to happen. There's not any people out there scaffolding tickets and saying, hey, you can get a ticket for me, you can get into heaven. There's no people out there like that. No one else can give you entrance into the kingdom except for the Father. No one can speak on your behalf except for the Son. And remember again, if you are not doing what you're supposed to do, he does not know you, so why would he speak up on your behalf? He's not going to do it. You probably had friends that have worked at a theater somewhere, and he said, come around to the side door, I'm going to let you in. No, you ain't going to be able to sneak into heaven. He talks about there's one way in, and that one way in is through Jesus Christ. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. If he doesn't know you, he's not going to let you in. Jesus, do you know? Don't know him. Don't know him. Well, we're going to see what's going to happen with that. In Revelation 20:10. Again, God's word is good. We go from the book of Genesis through the book of Revelation because we want us to understand that all of God's word is important. And we need to continue to focus on what he wants us to focus on and do the things that are right and pleasing before him. And this is the place of Satan. Again, we need to understand that he is a coward. Satan is a coward. I don't care how much power you think he has. He is a coward. All you need to do is call him out on the rug. Face to face. You know, when we pray to God, do not be afraid to talk to Satan. But when you talk to him, don't be timid. Don't be compromising. You tell Satan where to get off, because he needs to be told. As Jesus talked to Peter, he said, get behind me, Satan. He called Peter Satan. Get behind me. And so maybe you need to look at some of your family and friends, and you may need to tell them, get behind me, Satan. Make them mad. You know, people can take it all day long when you tell them they're no good. When you tell them they're committing sin, they can take that all day long. But when you look at them, tell them, you're evil. They look at you different then, because they know you know exactly who they are and what they're doing. And you tell them you're evil and you're going to be judged according to your deeds. And pray that they hear you. And pray that they change before it's everlasting too late. And so we find here in Revelation 20 and verse 10. Revelation 20 and verse 10 says, and the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Forever and ever. You know how long that is? It's forever. It will never cease. And again, look at that contrast there. Day and night. Day and night. But when it talks about eternity in heaven, it's an everlasting day where there will be no darkness. That's where I want to be. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to lie to you. There are sometimes I am afraid of the dark. I don't know about any other man in here, but there are times when I'm afraid of the dark. When I get to heaven, I don't have to worry about being afraid, because it's never going to be darkness. All fear has been removed. So therefore, let us strive not to go into everlasting punishment, but go into eternal rest. The final judgment. Are you ready for it? Because it's coming. It is coming. And if you have not prepared yourselves for that day, may I suggest that you listen to, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. Because what you have heard is God's word. You need to hear what God has to say, not what some man has to say. You know, you hear people say all the time, my pastor said that, my pastor said this. What did God say? What that pastor is trying to get you to do, and again, that's that one man setup. What he's trying to get you to do, he's trying to get you to follow him. See, I've followed people like that. I've had people that say they was concerned about my soul's salvation, but yet they were just concerned about my money, which I did not have. They would call my house and ask me, Melvin, where are you at? That's not what they really wanted to know. They wanted to know what was my contribution. And, you know, Nita went with me to that place one time, and she said, I'll never go back again. And it's because of her, and not really because of her, but it's because of God's word, that I came away from that type of way. Because what I began to do is I began to look at God's word, and I began to search God's word, and I began to hear what God's word has to say. Because the Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's not about some story that somebody tells. It's not about some book that somebody has written. But it's about God. That's who we need to know. We need to know God. Who is he? The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know, I ask that question when I go and study with people sometimes. I say, what happened in the beginning? And you know what I run across every now and then? And it's just started happening this last year and a half. I run across some smart people. And you know what they tell me? And somebody else may be sitting in that class with them. And when they begin to speak, that person look over at them like they have lost their minds. You know what they do? They jump to John 1:1. And they say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And they look at them like, I say, why are you looking at them like that? I say, that's what happened in the beginning. And then to jump down to verse 14, and it said, the word became flesh and dwelt among men. You want to talk about knowing God? You need to start going through this book. You need to understand exactly who God is and what God can do, the power that he has. Again, what did we state there? Coming from Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul says, let me go back up to verse 15. Because here I am in Akron, or how you pronounce that? Akron, Ohio. Here I am in Akron, Ohio. I'm just going to take Paul's words. It said, as so much as in me is, I'm ready to preach to you that are here in Akron, Ohio. Because of what Paul says in verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I don't know if we have any Jews in here, but I know we have a whole lot of Greeks, and I'm one of them. And the gospel message is for me, just like it's for you. And so we need to understand what Jesus says here in John chapter 8, verse 24. Except ye believe that I am he, you would die in your sins. You would die in your sins. You know, God's word is no joke. This is where we're going to find truth. And when we start looking for truth, we have to understand that we need to diligently seek God. You know what he is according to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6? He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You know what that means? That means it's going to take some work. But you know how we generally study God's word? Here it is, right there in front of you. Lord, what do you want me to know today? And you open it up, and wherever it lands, that's where you start. And a lot of times when that happens, you have no idea what you're reading. And you know what you have to do? You have to be honest with yourself. Like the eunuch was honest with himself. When Philip was led to the chariot of the eunuch, and he was asked that question, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I, except some man guide me? And it just so happened, my Bible opened up to the book of Isaiah, and that's where the eunuch was reading. Mine is Isaiah 1. He was in Isaiah 53. And what did Philip do? Philip preached unto him Jesus. And we have to understand what the preaching of Jesus is all about. It's about his birth. It's about his life. It's about his death, burial, and resurrection, and his ascension into heaven. That's what the preaching of Jesus is all about. And so therefore, we need to preach Jesus to people so that they may realize that they need to repent of the things in which they have done wrong. And understand that as we talk to them about the things that they have done wrong, they need to be like these people were on the day of Pentecost. They need to ask, what must I do? That was the question that was asked on that day. And you know what Peter did not tell them? Don't worry about it. Jesus has already done it all. He gave his life on the cross. Yes, he gave his life on the cross. But let's back up just a little bit. For he says, God has made the same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. That is when they asked that question. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Because they realized just hearing that wasn't enough, that they needed to do something. They were there when they crucified Jesus. They were there and they heard Jesus say to the Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Forgive them. But they didn't think that since this message was preached, that that was all that needed to be done. So what did Peter and the rest of the apostles tell them? They told them to repent. To repent. Have a change of heart. Don't want to do that. Don't ever want to do that thing again. Repent. And we're just going to stop right there. We'll get back to the rest of that verse a little bit later, maybe. But in Luke chapter 13, verse 3. Luke chapter 13, verse 3. What did he say? Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He just didn't say it one time. It was worth repeating so that the people may really understand that this is important. Repentance is important. Not reporting, but repenting. What does it mean to report? Oh, you've been found out, so therefore you're going to come forth and you're going to make a confession just because you were found out, you're reporting. No. You need to have a change of heart. You need to have godly sorrow. You need to quit doing what you're doing. You need to be convicted of this thing. You need to be willing to say, I do not want to do that thing again because I know that is wrong. And so you hear that you need what you need to do, so therefore you confess. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, Jesus mentions, you know, if you confess me before men on earth, I will confess you before my Father who's in heaven. So maybe you're here tonight and you're not a Christian. And you want to become one, understand the importance of confessing. Confessing. Look at it. Think about it. You believe with the heart. And you confess with the mouth. And so what happens when you see this, and somebody here may be like this. You see, I've heard, and I believe that there is a God. And I've heard, and I believe in his son. And, you know, I'm willing to stop doing the things that I'm doing. I'm willing to stop those things. And I don't have a problem with telling people that Jesus is the Son of God. And you trying to tell me that I'm not saved? I'm not telling you that from my own mouth. But I'm telling you that from my heart, that you're not saved if that's all you've done coming from the Word of God. You are not saved because just hearing God's Word does not save you. Believing God's Word just doesn't save you because Satan, the devil, and his angels believe and they tremble. Why? I told you, they're cowards. They already know what their doom is. that's, again, so believing is not enough. But people will tell you, the Bible says all you got to believe. Mark chapter 16, verse 16, believe. See, well, they just quit reading right there. They quit reading. Repent. They quit reading right there. You have to read a little bit further. Because it mentions that you need to be baptized. Go down into the watery grave. Be buried, immersed in that water in order that you may be saved, because baptism saves, according to 1 Peter chapter 3 and the verse is 21. 1 Peter chapter 3 and the verse is 21. The like figure whereunto baptism doth now also save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism saves. It saved in that day, and it saves today. So if you have heard, you have believed, you have repented, and you're willing to confess, why not be baptized? Now some say, well, you know, I just don't think baptism, you know, has any importance in God's word. In my soul salvation. Well, go buy a new pair of clothes and take it and hang it in your closet. And then, you know, go back outside and say, look at these new clothes I bought. Where are those new clothes? They're in your closet. What you've heard tonight, you say that you're a Christian. Were you baptized? Because the Bible teaches us in Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, as many of you that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now ask yourself, or you're a Christian without being baptized. You go and you go down to the bank, you want to buy a new car, you went down there and you picked your car out, you go to the bank and you get that loan and you go back home and you go sit in your living room, but you never did go back down to the car dealership. Where's that car? It's still at the dealership. You don't have that car yet. You have to get up. You have to go down to that dealership. You have to show them your loan or give them your money. Sign on the dotted line. There's a lot of signing that you have to do. Make sure you have insurance now. This is the insurance right here. They ain't going to let you drive it off the lot without insurance. You're not going to be able to get in the Lord's church without insurance. Right here. This is what puts you into Christ. Putting him on through the watery grave of baptism. Going back to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, the remission of sins, that you may receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promises to you, to your children, those that are far off, and as many as the Lord our God shall call. The Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. We have to understand the importance of baptism. It saves us. So which one of these things do you want to leave out? Which one do you want to leave out? Not one, if you want to be a Christian. And then once you become a Christian, there's still something that you need to do. You need to grow. You grow and do the things that are right and pleasing before God. We go to 1 Peter chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. And understand, once you become a child of God, there are still things that you need to do. The things that are right and pleasing before God. He says in verse 1, so put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Put those things away. Now that you are a child of God, you're a new babe in Christ. He said, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. Wow. How many Christians do you know? You know, and what makes you a Christian? Hearing this, believing this, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. Now you're a child of God, according to Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Praising God and having favor with the people, with all the people the Lord added to the church, daily such as should be saved. But you know, it doesn't stop there. You need to grow. You need to grow. And growing is what God desires of his children. You can't just, you know, become a Christian and sit on that pew and think, oh, I got it made now. No, you don't have it made. You have some work to do. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 15. Practice these things. You know, we got some people that think, you know, I'm on the team. I don't have to practice. Okay, there's always somebody going to be better than you. If you don't practice, you're going to be sitting on the bench. We are in rehearsal right now. We're in practice right now because we want to get to heaven. The things that we're doing down here upon this earth, again, being amongst other Christians, faithful individuals, we will be amongst them in heaven as well. Singing and praising God around the throne. If you don't sing and praise God here on earth, you're not going to be able to get to heaven and sing and praise Him. So we're in practice. We're in rehearsal right now. He said, practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. You remember me telling you the story where that young lady said, you're not the same, Melvin? She's seen some progress. She's seen a difference. Since you have become a child of God, has there been any difference in your life? Or are you still hanging out with the same people that you hung out years ago, doing the same thing that they did years ago? Or are you still doing those things and know good and well that those things are wrong? Now, again, we talked about the final judgment. You're going to be judged according to what you've done on this earth, whether good or whether bad. In this life, whether good or whether bad. You're going to be judged according to those things. And know again, you can't hide anything from God. So what we have to do is we have to be faithful. We have to be faithful. Faithfulness is not by man's standard, but faithful by God's standard. That's what we're looking at, and that's what we need to recognize, and that's what we need to do. In Hebrews chapter 3 and the verses 14, Hebrews 3 and the verses 14, for we have come to share in Christ if, that conditional statement there, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. Firm to the end. You know, you're working on something with somebody and that person really doesn't understand what's going on. What do you tell them? Because you understand all of it. What do you tell them? Just hold what you got. Hold what you got. I'll be right back with you in just a moment. Hold what you got. My dad told me that when we were skinning the squirrel, and I was so nervous and I was excited about skinning the squirrel because people tell me there's more than one way to skin a squirrel, but I believe my dad had the best way. And as I'm holding that fur, you know, pulled back, and I said, Daddy, what do I do next? He said, hold what you got. Why? Because he says, if you get hair on that squirrel, you're going to pick it all off. And I want you to understand this. If you lose your soul salvation, it's your own fault. So hold what you got to the end. Your original confidence in God's word. Do not be like the church of Galatia, where Paul went to them and he said, I marvel that you're so soon removed to another gospel, which is really no gospel at all. There's not nothing but one gospel. And it's the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we need to hold fast to. Don't let anyone tell you that you need to go back and start living according to the law of Moses. Don't let anybody tell you that you go back and start living or living the law or circumcision or let no one tell you that you have to go back and start sacrificing to the Lord again. Don't let anyone tell you. Now, I like this part here because there are some people that will come to me from time to time and say, this is what I like about the Church of Christ, that you all don't have to tithe. But you know what we do have to do? We do have to give as we have purposed in our hearts. But don't let anybody go back and tell you that you need to live according to the Old Testament rules and regulations. Now, there are some things that are there that we know good and well that we should never do, that was never right in the eyes of God and never will be right in the eyes of God. Murder is one of those things. Lying is one of those things. Coveting is one of those things. And, you know, he wrapped this all up by saying, love your neighbor as yourself. You won't do any of those things. But let us understand that there will be persecutions that come our way. And that's what Jesus promised us. And if Jesus promised it, you might as well get ready for it. But what does he say in Revelation chapter 2 and the verses 10? Be thou faithful unto the death. Be thou faithful unto the death. And you know what you would get? You know what you would get? You would get salvation. It's there for you. It's there for you. Again, this is God's word. This is not what I feel. This is not what I think. This is not my opinion. This is what I know. That God's word is truth. And we need to live by it. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian and you want to become one, you understand everything that I've said tonight. Tonight is your night. Tonight is the night that you need to come forth and you need to make that confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, be immersed in a watery grave of baptism, rise and to walk a newness of life. Being an example to others, as Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. Do not hesitate. Do not be afraid. Do not, you know, even think about what your family is going to say. Because it's not about them. It's about you. It's about you and what you believe about the Word of God. Do what is right. If you're here and you are a Christian and you have strayed away, now is the time to come back. And he welcomes you back as we will welcome you back with open arms. If you're hearing your subject, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.